to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to the third and final hour of tonight's installment of the award-winning broadcast, our little show, the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and staying with me for tonight's third hour in the co-host chair, Winston Smith. Winston, we just got done with Dr. Greg Johnson. You don't hardly beat that, do you?
No, you don't. I'm glad he brought up the issue of making fake hate crimes into hate crimes. Something I've advocated for a long time on the political cesspool. And folks, in the upcoming election cycle, we need to have people at these political rallies and these town hall meetings, and we need to say to these candidates the same thing every other race says to the candidates. We need to say to them, what will you do for the white race? And the first example you need to give them is, will you support making fake hate crimes into real hate crimes? Will you support the prosecution as a hate crime, fake hate crimes? That's something that we can do easily, and it'll certainly get attention. And I think if we press it hard enough, they'll have no choice but to take some sort of stand on it. Thereby, you can make your election choices.
Well, no, we need to have groups that are that explicit about the issues, Winston, because certainly you have the Black Congressional Caucus. You have all sorts of issue advocacy organizations that are out for nothing more, nothing less than to make sure that every candidate running is going to bring something to the table for blacks or for Hispanics or for Jews. I mean, there should be organizations and media entities like ours who, not at the expense of anyone else, but will ardently stand on the front lines for our constituencies, and certainly that's the day that we're working to hasten. Well, it's Saturday, March 6th, and we're back here for this third hour, as I mentioned, here on AM 1380 WLRM Radio out of Memphis and on the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I guess, Winston, I was just thinking here, as we are now into March of 2010, time does go by. This is spring break week, I mean, for most schools, and I can certainly remember a younger man going and enjoying spring break, and we're not going to go into the activities of those spring breaks that are just, and now here I am some years later hosting the greatest talk show in the world. That's maturity, Winston. That's like a fine wine. It just keeps on getting better for us.
So when you have great co-hosts.
Like you, and great co-host with great guests, and you have a very special guest on the line right now as we embark upon a slightly different path.
We are, and folks, we get lots and lots of mails. Occasionally, we pay more attention to some than to the others. They are all important to us. We try to answer all of them. Doesn't mean we can't. We do try to pay attention to them, and not too long ago, we received one from a nice lady who told us that she was in college and she was being forced to take a diversity class. And the more I read her email, James passed it on to me to handle it because, well, he just doesn't want to handle things. But James sent it on to me, and I contacted this nice lady, and through a series of emails, she asked a question, and I thought, I think it'd be good if we got you on the show to discuss this, because it's a question that a lot of people want to deal with. And so I invite her on the show, and she's here to help. And her name is Annette, and she is a student at the Indiana University School of Social Work. And just by way of introduction, I will tell you that Annette is 42 years old. She is a retired Navy technician, and a lot of that going around, James. A lot of Navy people show up on the, or a lot of recovering Navy people show up on the political staff.
Art Frith, Annette, yeah, quite a few on this staff, I tell you.
But the more I spoke with Annette, the more I was convinced that we need to have her on the broadcast to discuss what she is enduring, and she is here now. I hope, Annette, are you here?
I am.
Anything you'd like to add to your official political cesspool dossier?
No, yeah, I think you covered most of it. I'm working on my second degree, retired Navy, go Navy. I'm a published poet. I do a ton of volunteer work, and I'm basically just an everyday person.
It just goes to show, Winston, that you never know. You could email the Political Cesspool and end up as a guest. It's amazing how that works.
The path to stardom goes through the Political Cesspool. All right, let's do this. Time is short, and we need to get to it. So, Annette, you are pursuing a bachelor's degree in social work, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And part of the curriculum is this course, S100, Understanding Diversity in a Pluralistic Society. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Tell us what's been going on so far with this class.
Well, what's been going on so far, it started out with my professor. The very first night, she boasted of her membership with the SPLC and growing up in the 60s. And then we had to talk about the textbook that was required for required reading. We're going to be tested on it. We have to read it. And the textbook actually advocates the downfall of white heterosexuals, particularly white men. And I would even go so far to say that it even attacks Christianity in different chapters. We've had discussions on moving beyond white guilt, which automatically implies that there's white guilt. White men and the denial of racism, and it's just a very disturbing book.
And it's something that's mandated, correct? I mean, it's not something that's optional. You have to not only take this class, but you have to parrot the answers that they want recited, or else you don't get to move forward in your education.
Exactly.
Now, if that's not, Winston, if that's not Orwellian or just downright, you know, communist in nature, then I don't know what is.
It is, and I've been looking through some of the readings that Miss Annette is forced to deal with, and one of them is titled White Men and the Denial of Racism, and one that she's already mentioned, Moving Beyond White Guilt. There are some terrible assumptions being made there, are there not, Annette?
Yes, there are. You're absolutely right.
What is your assessment of the course? What is it meant to do?
My assessment of the course is that it is meant to, like I said, advocate the downfall of the white heterosexual male. It's specifically designed against whites, but especially white men. They believe that whites benefit from this hierarchical system, advantage and power, and it needs to be overthrown. And it says things, if I could just read a couple of passages in the book. There's this one that says, finally, I cannot talk about white guilt without talking about collective guilt. And it talks about how it needs to be overthrown in these racist education systems, courts, polices, behind the whole white privilege. And one passage in it for a specific, it says, when a person of color says, that's racist, it's time for me to close my mouth, sit down, and listen because school is in session. Yeah, that was my thought too.
What is the racial makeup of this class?
The professor is a black woman. There are two other black women in the class, and there is one black male, and then the rest is white women.
Winston, let me ask you this, because I found that last passage that Annette read to be absolutely abhorrent. So class is in session when a minority says something is racist. When is class not in session, Winston, and what isn't racist according to them?
Well, that I think as I look over the syllabus that Miss Annette provided me with, I don't think that ever goes away. I think
class never lets out when you're enrolled there, does it?
The assumption is that if you're white, you are racist. In fact, racist is just has become a synonym for white. That's why we say anti-racism is simply a phrase for anti-white. I've been looking through the syllabus, and this is. Oh, and that what I wanted to ask you about the ages of the people in the class. Which other ages are?
Well, I believe that the majority of the students are below the age of 25.
Okay, so they're kids.
Yes, they're definitely kids.
To us, they're kids.
I mean, from my age, yes.
All right. So you have a class of people who are 25, they're just starting out in life, they're just starting to solidify their thinking. And in order to pursue their career in social work, they have to take this class, in which it seems to me the goal is to shame white people. Would you agree with that?
Well, Annette, hold that thought, and we're going to pick up with that question as soon as we come back. We've got to take a commercial break here as you listen to the Political Cesspool Radio program on the Liberty News Radio Network. James Edwards and Winston Smith will be back with our special guest, Annette from Indiana, right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. James and Winston here with you as we present to you tonight's third and final hour of the Political Cesspool. We have as our guest right now Annette from Indiana. Annette is a former member of the United States Navy. She has served her country with honor. She is now pursuing a second degree in college and is on the program tonight to talk about her mandatory required diversity training. And it's pretty upsetting stuff. Winston, you had a great question posed for Annette right before that last commercial break came up.
Yeah, I did. Too bad I can't remember what it was. I'll tell you what, Annette. We do have a caller. Would you be hip to listen to this caller's comment?
Absolutely.
His name is John. He's from Clinton Township. John, are you there?
And
I lost audio, Danny.
John, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
You're on the Political Cesspool with Winston Smith and Annette. You have a comment on the topic at hand?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing very. I'm doing very well. I don't speak for Annette.
Is Annette still there?
Yes, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Okay, what's your comment?
I'm having a really hard time hearing you guys.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it is. Just go ahead with your comment.
Yeah, go ahead, John. We hear you fine.
Okay, my point is I went through the same thing that Annette is going through. In the mid '90s. And my point is that the propaganda and stuff was really starting hardcore at that point. You just have to filter it out. We have moved in the mental health field, which I'm assuming that she's working in, is where they're even trying to make, like, quote-unquote racism a mental illness. And this is the field that we work in. There are also other troubles that she could find that, depending on, because social work is a very divided field. You can be administrative social worker, substance abuse social worker, mental health social worker, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
What you find is that you're going to work in corrections, meaning prison systems, if you want to make a decent living. And within that means you work for a state agency or something. So you're going to have to really kind of cover up your views, still do your job, and then still separate that from the rest of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was coming from.
Thank you for the comments, John. We really appreciate it. Annette, do you have a take on any of that?
Unfortunately, a lot of what he said broke up, but I did catch the latter part, though, where he said that I have to cover up my views, and I understand that. I understand what he's saying, because you do have a need for self-preservation. You don't want to. We all know what happens when a white person speaks their mind. I can't do that. I can't cover up my views. I can't cover up my thoughts. I can't cater to the behavior that they want to see in me. Am I going to have to pay for that maybe sometime? Yes, probably. Is that going to distract me? Is that going to stop me? No, it's not, because we've been covering up for too long, which is why we find ourselves in the position that we're in. and I'm not going to contribute to that. I can't. I just
have
can't.
You mentioned things like this in your class, Annette?
I do.
And what is the reaction that you get?
Words, but, you know, there is debate, and there is confrontation, but it's things that we discuss. It's not an in-your-face type of conversation, but it is discussed in the classroom.
Are you still allowed a passing grade?
That remains to be seen. And, you know, I have similar conversations in my intro to social work class where we've talked about the historically oppressed populations and white privilege and all the other terminologies that they like to use. And who knows what I'm going to get in those classes, but I just can't sit there and not say anything. I can't.
Well, you know, it would be interesting, Winston, if she were graded on the quality of an essay, because in an essay you can write a dissenting opinion and still be allowed to pass. But are you tested, Annette, based upon the content of your book, where you have to give them the answers that they expect?
Yes, you are.
Ah, see, now that's bad. That's bad. So I guess you gotta do the master's bidding there. I mean, there's only one right answer in their mind. If the answer is either A or B.
James,
you know,
how much time do you have left?
Interpretation.
How much time do you have left in this segment?
We got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes.
Okay, Annette. In these final minutes, first of all, I want to ask you if you would mind coming back on the show. This is just 30 minutes is not enough time to handle this, and there's still some time left in the course. I'd like to get your updates on this, because you're right in the belly of the beast there, and this is something that our listeners need to hear about. Would you mind doing that occasionally?
No, I wouldn't mind it at all.
Okay. Well, what reactions are you getting for your stance?
From some of the students, I'm getting, sometimes I get a confused look, which is good. I take that as a good sign because they're obviously thinking about things now. From some people, I get the gasps and the looks and the how dare you say that, you racist. I can see it in their eyes, but they don't say it. And I get the glares and that includes the professor. I get that from her. But, and then there are some kids that, you know, I can see them kind of shaking their heads, yes, like, you know, I hear what you're saying, but they don't say anything, but it's important to me that they hear it.
I agree with you, and I have to commend you on your courage for
absolutely.
And in this class.
Well, thank you.
It's a shame you have to take it, but I certainly admire your courage and your candor for coming on this program and letting others know that which is being forced upon us just so we will have the opportunity to go out and get a living. I mean, it's an era in which a college degree is greatly beneficial, and in order to get that degree, you have to go through classes like this, and inevitably, classes like this will turn out students who are true believers in the lies that are being forced down their throats. But thank God it didn't take to you, Annette, and best of luck to you there. And as Winston said, we will await your updates. We're certainly very interested in how all of this turns out, and we're certainly pulling for you.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the show.
Good
hey,
luck,
James?
My friend. Yeah, Winston, a final word on that subject.
Yeah, I would like to conduct an experiment. I've talked with Annette about this, but I want to see to it that she gets a copy of Craig Boddicker's DVD, Conversation About Race, and I'd like her to present that to her instructor to see if see how far their tolerance goes.
You know, I think that would be an excellent DVD to have presented to the class, a class presentation. Mm-hmm. Although, Winston, you bring that up as if it's my job now to go out and call Craig and get that DVD sent, which I
well,
will gladly
is.
Do, by the way. We just need to get some contact information, and we'll make sure that gets sent to her. And great idea, Winston. Indeed, great idea.
Okay, I'll get in touch with Annette during the off time, and we'll see to it, Annette, that you get a copy of Craig Boddicker's DVD, A Conversation About Race. Let us know what reaction you get from the instructor.
I definitely will.
Thank you for joining us this evening. I look forward to our next conversation.
I as well. Thank you very much.
Okay, good evening to you, Annette.
And that's the kind of people, ladies and gentlemen, that we have tuning into this program, the kind of people who take the time to write into this program. Annette is a perfect representation of our listening audience. Very
well-spoken,
very well-read, educated, serves our country, loves our country, a lot of pride.
How many of our guests have PhDs and other advanced degrees? You know, I have a bachelor's degree. Eddie is a high educated in his field. Bill Rowland has an English degree. Well, we still have hope for you.
I have a master's in race relations.
And now our list, we get listeners with multiple degrees. That is the typical political cesspool audience.
That's right, and we're going to talk more about that right after this.
Don't go away, the political cesspool guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
What a great show it's been tonight. Dr. Greg Johnson as a guest during the second hour. You just heard from a listener of this radio program undergoing mandatory diversity training up in Indiana. Great, great, great interview, and I thank Winston Smith, my co-host this evening, for making that interview available to our audience. And now we're going to be joined by a regular guest of this radio program, a man who needs no introduction, although I am going to get Winston to introduce him. But not before I remind you that we have a special incentive on the table for our listeners all the way through March 31st. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org to read more about it. Get your hands on an autographed copy of Hutton Gibson's book, The Enemy Is Still Here. Our website will provide you with the details. And also, if you want to advertise your business, product, or organization on our program and on the Liberty News Radio Network, please email media at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That email address is media at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Winston Smith, by all means, introduce our very good friend who is on the line now.
Folks, there's a lot I could say about Reverend Ted Dyke. He's pretty much an honorary host of the show. He's our go-to guy in all things Zionist. He has done the yeoman's work of trying to protect America from the ravages of the ADL. And he's here with us again tonight to discuss some developments that you certainly need to know about. Anytime Reverend Pike appears on the political set, it is something about which you need to know. So, Reverend Pike, welcome to the political cesspool.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
Great to have you back, Reverend Pike. And again, folks, check out Ted's work. He's the executive director of the National Prayer Network, truthtellers.org. Truthtellers.org. That's his internet headquarters. Ted, what's on the agenda this evening? I know you got some hot news. You got to get to the audience.
Well, I just couldn't pass by the audience of the political cesspool without letting them know that there is an extremely dangerous bill now in the House Education and Labor Committee. It's another one of these so-called hate crimes bills put forward by the Anti-Defamation League. It's called the Student Non-Discrimination Act. The bill is H.R. 4530. And basically, just like the big federal hate bill, which was finally signed into law last October by President Obama, it gives it will give grade and high school homosexual students special rights and special protections over the majority. Of course, that's in violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, which forbids giving unequal justice and special rights to some over others. And it claims to protect students who feel harassed or intimidated because of their homosexual orientation or feel harassed because of their desire to be perceived as the opposite gender. What that means is that if a junior high school boy wants to come to school dressing like a girl with high heels and mascara and a wig and so on, and he wants to be perceived as a girl, and he's snickered at relentlessly by the students, and this snickering goes on to such an extent that he becomes troubled by this and doesn't want to go to some school function, then according to this Student Non-Discrimination Act, he has the right to get in touch with his local feminist or gay or liberal district attorney, and that district attorney will contact Eric Holder in the Justice Department, and the federal government will come with a complete investigation of this so-called harassment and intimidation violation of his civil rights on the local level. And this legislation ostensibly is now extending the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which was extended to protect blacks in the workplace, but now it will protect teeny boppers, grade school children, boys and girls who are launching off onto a career of homosexuality and who feel intimidated, especially to the point that they decline to attend a school function.
Reverend Pop, of course, the usual suspects behind this are the thugs at the ADL. I have to ask you, why is the ADL so intrinsically entwined with the sodomy and every other sort of sexual deviancy when you would think they would be involved in things Jewish? Why do they do that?
Well, that's a very good question.
That is a good question.
Actually, Abe Foxman, who is the ADL, is the director of the ADL, is a devout Orthodox Jew, and I have written repeatedly about him and his numerous statements affirming his Jewishness and his piety, and yet, nevertheless, the ADL is notorious for promoting same-sex marriage and all forms of perversion, including pornography, abortion, anti-creationism, taking down the crosses in public places, taking down the Ten Commandments. Everything that's anti-Christian, the ADL seems to be behind. Well, the fact of the matter is that ADL, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, even though it gives the impression that it's a secular Jewish organization, nevertheless, all of these attack groups of organized world Jewry, nevertheless, are followers of the Talmud. They're the followers of the Kabbalah. In fact, Foxman states that very clearly in his book, which is entitled Never Again, The Threat of the New Anti-Semitism. He says he dreams and fervently anticipates the coming of the Messiah. He encourages Jewish youth to study the Talmud and the Kabbalah and sends these young people from America on trips to Israel to deepen their spiritual faith and things like that. Now, the whole purpose of this double, schizophrenic agenda between a devotion to the Torah, the so-called Torah and the Talmud, and corruption of the Gentile nations is because ADL has a very definite agenda of breaking down Christian civilization, breaking down the capitalistic free enterprise system, bringing in communism, bringing in socialism, bringing in homosexuality, all of these destructive hammer blows against the underpinnings of Christian civilization are necessary to break it down and pave the way for the new Jewish world order. And of course, Foxman yearns for the Messiah. Well, the Messiah is not going to come as the Jews would like him to come in world dominion as long as capitalism and Christianity are free and thriving. Therefore, capitalism and Christianity have to be destroyed.
So how does this this anti-bullying bill or this anti-harassment bill, how does that feed into this agenda?
Well, you see, the ADL wants to get control of the Internet, and that's proving to be a very difficult thing for ADL. Maybe some countries like China or Australia or increasingly over in France can be persuaded to actually ban free speech coming and going on the Internet. But what they have found is if they pose as the protector of America's children, pose as being very, very concerned and very troubled by the fact that adolescent youth are bullied on the Internet and bullied at school because of their sexual orientation, then ADL wants to step in and say, Mom and Dad, we're a venerable civil rights organization. We are dedicating ourselves to protecting your child on the Internet and on campus from bullying and cyber hate and all these nasty things. And so this gives that ADL the privileged position of as an advisor, as an initiator of legislation in American life, especially an esteemed civil rights organization that can be trusted to make wise decisions, particularly about what kind of speech is proper and even allowable on the Internet. And, of course, there is a problem with the cyberbullying, especially among teens. But what ADL wants to do is go in there and say, we are going to protect against cyberbullying, but we're also going to define what cyberbullying is. And, of course, cyberbullying can be many things, but the ADL is very insistent that it's going to be criticism of homosexuality among America's teens. Now, earlier in the year, in fact, this fall, ADL tried to push through its cyberbullying bill, and that was accompanied by a bill called the AWARE bill. And both these bills would criminalize those who even intend to harass or intimidate homosexuals on campus, all the way from grade school through graduate school. In fact, from kindergarten to graduate school, the cyberbullying bill was very aggressive in wanting to take over pro-homosexual education in the public schools of America.
Reverend Pike, sorry to interrupt. We got to take a commercial break. Hold that thought. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with Reverend Ted Pike of truthtellers.org for one more segment right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Final segment of the evening. Of course, we'll be back with you live next week for another installment of the Political Cesspool radio program. Until then, I just got to say it's always a delight to check my voicemail and find that I have a message from Reverend Ted Pike, and it's even a greater delight to have him on this program. The man is truly a hero of mine, should be a hero for all of our people. He is certainly one of the most ardent defenders of our freedom of speech and thought that there is out there today. He deserves your support, and I encourage you to give it to him by visiting his website, truthtellers.org. And that being said, Winston, I turn the reins of this interview back over to you, buddy.
Thank you. Reverend Pike, please continue your thought that you were carrying on before we went to the break.
This legislation has other points to it which are of grave concern. In fact, if any student is a heterosexual and is bullied or is harassed or intimidated in any way just for associating with homosexuals, he has a right to call a federal government in to prosecute those who are harassing him. Now, these terms, intimidation and harassment, are pivotal to this legislation, but this bill doesn't even define them adequately. Very weak, very shaky and subjective definitions. As I've been saying, all it takes is the claim by a grade school student that they were disinclined to attend a school assembly or something in order to bring the federal government down, going after making federal hate criminals out of teachers, students, administration, even perhaps parents and church authorities who might have been repeatedly criticizing a young homosexual on campus. Back in the about 10 years ago when we made our hate crimes video in Canada, and people can watch that on truthtellers.org, I did talk to Canadian hate crimes police, and I asked them, what do you do when you have some right-winger who's using speech that you don't like, and yet it's legal, still legal in Canada, and you can't nail him? And the policewoman, she told me, she says, oh, that's very simple. We just get him on harassment charge. A harassment charge, she said, is so obscure and indefinable on the law that we can wrap it around any kind of offense or any kind of speech that we object to. And yet that's exactly the term which this legislation is leaving undefined to go out and become enshrined possibly in American law. And so this is extremely shaky legislation. We were able to defeat the cyberbullying bill and the AWARE bill back this fall because many, many people responded to my calls for action and got calls going in there. Gave Louis Gohmert, Representative Louis Gohmert, of the House Judiciary Committee, time to assemble excellent constitutional authorities and conservative witnesses. We knocked both of them dead in their tracks, both of those evil bills, and we can do the same thing right now. That familiar toll-free number, I'd like to encourage our listeners to get those calls going in, not only to your member of the House, but also there are 19 crucial Republicans on the House Education and Labor Committee. Give those people a call. It'll only take you an hour to call. And at the homepage of truthtellers.org, we have an article there. It's called ADL's New Public School Hate Bill. It will provide much more information about this bill, as well as exactly what I'd like people to tell the members of the House of Representatives. If we can stop this bill, get the flak going in there immediately, I believe we have a chance of saving freedom again.
Well, with pedophilia rampant in Orthodox Judaism these days, I think they are the last people you would want to be in charge of protecting your children.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, the SPLC has apparently in need of cash, and so they've cooked up some more scare tactics. What have they been up to, Reverend Pike?
Well, many of our listeners are familiar with the fact that the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center, these two Jewish attack groups, tried a year ago to persuade the Missouri State Police to profile right-wingers, Tea Partiers, supporters of Ron Paul, etc., Christian conservatives, as possible domestic terrorist threats. And then just several months ago, the ADL launched a 27-page attack on the religious conservative right, claiming that literally millions of those who criticize Obama are now conspirators. I didn't say just believing in conspiracy theories. No, they are now conspirators, according to ADL. And now the Southern Poverty Law Center is repeating that charge in a recent article on the SPLC website. It's called Rage on the Right, plus an interview with Mark Potok, who's their editor of that online magazine. He's now claiming that the Tea Party movement is shot through, just absolutely saturated with violent people, with people who are extremists and full of potential for terrorism and so on. And in this report, Potok, you can watch it on your computer at the SPLC website. He's claiming that something has got to be done because he says police are very, very nervous that all it's going to take is a tiny spark to explode this climate of potential violence, which he says is very similar to the mood of the country just before the Oklahoma City bombing years ago when Timothy McVeigh finally broke out in this kind of terrorism. Now, what's going on here is that these Jewish activist groups are very nervous about the rising right-wing Tea Party movement. And even though the Tea Party movement is very pro-Israel and is not particularly enlightened about the threat of Jewish supremacism, they are very nervous because there are so many elements in the political far right, the anti-Zionist right, that are now infiltrating in that group. Nobody knows exactly where it's going to go. And we are going to have to, what I'm recommending to people, and I will have an e-alert sent out Sunday night. I'm just finishing writing right now about what people can do to actually strengthen the Tea Party, make it the whole truth party, as I've suggested before, and keep it from being pirated and diverted away into another lapdog party for the international Zionists.
Well, we are seeing more and more articles and comments saying that the Tea Party is basically a white movement. I think that's what is galling people more than anything, is that as you look out over the seas of people who attend these Tea Party functions, you see pretty much nothing but white faces. And it got to the point that even the Captain America comic book accused the Tea Party movement of racism.
Yeah. Well,
like Captain America, for crying out loud.
Yeah. Well, I'm encouraging people to not just stand by and see what happens, but I believe history is being made here, and we can channel it and influence the Tea Party in the right direction. I'm encouraging people to actually locate your local Tea Party chapter and join up. Join up and get into the Tea Party basically infiltrate them with the whole truth. And I'm encouraging people to tell Tea Party members and leaders to watch my Other Israel video, which is not only on Google but on YouTube or at truthtellers.org. Watch that crucial video with your friends in your Sunday school class, in your conservative Tea Party group. Get them thinking about the long-term objectives of ADL, SPLC, how they're trying to destroy civilization, and how the Tea Party might be a powerful instrument to hold back that evil agenda.
You know, Reverend Pike, you're certainly on the right path here. As we've said, and we've covered the Tea Party movement extensively in the previous weeks and even months leading back to last summer, I think that at its core element, there's a lot of potential for good to be done, but as we've also seen recently, a lot of its upper-tier leadership, if you want to call it upper-tier, is just rotten to the core. They have got to make sure that movement doesn't get derailed by a couple of infiltrators at the top, and that's something we've been keeping a close watch on, as you have too. We're flat out of time, but Winston, thank you so much for preparing a great third hour for us with Reverend Ted Pike, always one of our favorites, and of course our guest earlier in the program. Reverend Ted Pike, we love you, my friend. God bless you. And folks, check out his work at truthtellers.org and be sure to sign up for those alerts that he just mentioned. Reverend Pike, we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody. And that does it for the program. For Winston Smith, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Bill Rowland, Keith Alexander, I am James Edwards. We will see you next week here on the Liberty News Radio Network. We are the Political Cesspool Radio Program. Don't forget to check us out at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. Good night, everybody. God bless you. Remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.